Talking today about adding up the benefits of billing in two counties in Oregon. Okay, and I want to particularly point out, I had a lot of co-authors on this, and all of them contributed a lot to the project, but particularly I want to point out Suchita Lorick, who was our CDC collaborator, who was really important in pulling this together for us, and then Kelly Martin and Bob Moore, who are the immunization coordinators at the county level in Oregon, who worked and were very patient with us as we asked for a lot of information. No disclosures. So the background is that the Oregon Immunization Program, and I'll be using the acronym OIP in my slides from here on out, they provided no-cost influenza vaccine to local health departments for about 5 years, from 2006 through 2010, for school-located clinics. And in this most recent flu season, 2010-11, this was the first year where local health departments were held accountable for the cost of vaccine. So no longer were they being given vaccine at no cost. It was a new model that they were being given, and the idea was that they wanted to implement a pilot project to bill for influenza vaccine administered in school settings because, as Dr. Kemp pointed out, there's a lot of interest and focus on the efficiencies that come with administering flu vaccine in a school setting. So we wanted to try to set up a new model where we could implement billing for those doses that were administered since it was no longer being provided at no cost to the local health departments. And in order to evaluate the effectiveness of doing that, we wanted to track the staff time that it took to implement the clinic as well as process the billing, so how much added time does it take to process the billing piece of it, and then evaluate the costs as a model for other local health departments to consider in the state of Oregon as whether or not this is a model they would consider using as well. And I want to say that this is not a complete cost evaluation, but I think that the preliminary results are pretty interesting, and that's what I'll be presenting today. So the setting is, and just for people who aren't aware of Oregon's, their billables program that currently exists in Oregon, and this is a pretty simplistic description of the process, but the way it works right now is that local health departments can order vaccine from the Oregon Immunization Program, and the local health departments then enter eligibility codes within a three-month time frame into their IIS. And at that point, they determine if it's a VFC-eligible dose or a billable dose. At that point, after that three-month period of time, the program, the immunization program, runs reports to identify which ones were VFC-eligibles and sends bills to local health departments for those that were considered billable doses or non-VFC doses that were administered. So we implemented in two counties in Oregon, and they are highlighted here for those of you who aren't familiar with anything beyond Portland. We used one in Marion County, which is where the capital of Oregon is in Salem, and that has a population of about 300,000 in the county. And they generally they are about average for the average income for the state of Oregon is pretty similar to that of Marion County, and there are slightly higher percentages above the federal poverty level in Marion County compared to the national average in Oregon. And then Yamhill County, just to the northwest of that, where slightly higher median income, but generally same demographics and description. So starting with first Marion County, I'm going to walk through Marion County and the experience we had there, and then do the same steps walking through Yamhill County. In Marion County, they had previously held school clinics for the past 5 years, but they'd never done any billing in their school setting. And so what they decided to do, and the local health department staff took this on themselves, they wanted to implement clinics in two schools, and they picked schools specifically that had high eligibility for free and reduced lunch. And they had a total of about 915 students enrolled, and it was focusing on K through 8, essentially. They administered only LAIV, and they used RN-LPN staff during school hours. Parents were not required to attend for these vaccine clinics. This is an excerpt from the fee consent form, so the same process applies where they, you know, in addition to the consent forms prior for agreeing to have your child vaccinated in the clinic, you also have to complete a consent form for the insurance information. And this is the first excerpt, and I included this because I thought it was interesting the way that they set up the options, starting with the option of how much cash, that you would pay cash that day, so, you know, essentially suggesting you're not insured, and the amount that you were willing to pay. So I thought it was an interesting option to give somebody the opportunity to indicate how much they were willing to pay on a scale of $0 to $15, essentially. And for Yamhill County, I'll show that excerpt as well as a comparison. So then we tracked the total staff time, and the way we did this is CDC worked with us to develop a web-based survey, and every 2 weeks for all the staff identified who were involved, so the 7 paid staff in Marion County, most of whom were local health department staff, one school-based person, agreed to go in every 2 weeks for about a 2- and 3-month period of time and enter all the time that they had spent in all these different categories of activities, starting with communication, so planning pre-clinic activity, the consent process, the training, the billing process, which obviously followed the clinic day itself. And then in the center there, you have the clinic day hours. So it was a lot to ask of them, and it was a pretty difficult process for them to go in every 2 weeks and recall the amount of time that they spent, but they did it, and for the total 7 staff that they had in the county, they spent a total of 147 hours for the implementation of the entire clinic. And on the clinic day itself, I wanted to point out that there were about 16 hours additional of volunteer time that contributed to that total time. So 39 hours is not the total time. It's the total time excluding volunteer time. So now I'm going to go through billing outcomes. It's a busy table, so I'm going to break it out into sort of sections as I go through it. So starting first with the state Medicaid and uninsured, we had 164 claims. Out of 191 claims that were filed, 164 fell into the VFC eligible category. The state Medicaid claims, there were 159 of them. They asked for a reimbursement of $15 for the admin fee. So they expected a total reimbursement of $2,300, more or less, and they got the full amount, so 100% reimbursement across the board for the Medicaid. And then for the uninsured, the 5 claims that were uninsured, they asked for $15 and got $75. So that was a complete 100% reimbursement for those VFC-eligible doses, which was a pretty exciting for them to see that come out. And then we focus on the private ones. And here I have it broken into 3 different categories because it wasn't quite as neat and clean. About 54 claims, so less than a third of the claims were private insured. And of those, 33 fully paid, and they asked for a reimbursement of $30 per dose and got the full amount from 33 of those, which is pretty good. That's actually 65% reimbursed fully for the private insurers. Of the remaining, of the private pays that only gave a partial pay, they had 9 claims. They asked for $30 per dose for those 9 claims. They would hope to get back $270. They only got back $180. So they got back about an average of $20 per dose for those 9 doses administered. And then for 12 of the claims that were denied, we switched the code to a 317 code for those. So the reimbursement, therefore, was a loss there, $360 loss for those claims. So overall, out of 218 claims and 191 persons that were vaccinated, they hoped to get back $4,000. They got back $3,600 for an amount that they basically lost $450 out of that, which I think was a pretty impressive outcome for a first-year attempt at billing. So then we go up to Yamhill County. And Yamhill County didn't get as far along the process. They were a little bit further behind. So at this point, this is an incomplete data set. They weren't able to bill completely out for their entire group of kids that were vaccinated. But the setting here was that they had previously held school clinics as well for the same number of years, a lot of years' experience, and they had done some billing in their school-based health centers. They selected 3 schools with a slightly lower eligibility for free reduced lunch, more about 50%, and they had 1 high school involved, and they had 2 K-8 schools, a total of enrollment of about 1,000 kids. They gave both LAIV and TIV, and they used their medical reserve corps and student nurses volunteers to hold the clinics during school hours as well, and parents were not required to attend. This is the excerpt from their fee consent form, and it's probably too hard to read, but I think it's a little bit more rigid, and I think that was interesting, the variability we saw, and clearly there's not an opportunity for you to indicate how much you would like to pay. You either agree to pay the full fee on that first row, or you go ahead and indicate the insurance type which category of insurance you would apply, be eligible for. So then we did the same process with the Yamhill County staff. They had 5.5 full-time paid staff on board, and same categories of information. They spent a slightly more time up front. I think Dr. Kemp had mentioned a majority of their time was spent, a clear majority was the planning for the clinic itself. And for us, in this case in Yamhill, they had a similar outcome. They had a lot of time on communications, planning, and consent process. So a total time was 129 hours, and it was more about 146, I believe, in Marion County. So very similar for the implementation of the clinics. The clinic day, they had an additional 191 hours of volunteer time. And the reason for that is that they use this as an opportunity to bring in a class of student nurses and to come in and observe how to administer in a mass clinic setting. So it was a good opportunity for training, but clearly you wouldn't pay those people if that were if you had to pay, it wouldn't be 191 hours of time that you'd be willing to pay. So the billing outcomes, I don't break it out this time because I think maybe you're probably familiar with the way we've laid out the table, but they had a total of 77 claims that were fall into the VFC eligibility category, which is the top 2 rows. So starting with the state Medicaid, 41 claims. It's a lesser percentage of the total compared to Marion County. They asked for a 15-19 reimbursement rate, a little bit different than the other county, and they got their full reimbursement. They got the total amount that they requested for those 41 claims. Of the 36 claims, so these are the parents that paid out of pocket for their kids, they had 29 that paid the full $15 amount, and then they had 7 who were eligible for the sliding scale, so paid an amount of between $0 and $10. Some of them indicated they would pay more, which is why they ended up with an outstanding amount of $35. But again, they were well reimbursed for those VFC doses. And then getting to that middle section, which represents the private, they didn't fare quite as well. So you can see that the private claims, they got zero reimbursement, full reimbursement for any of the claims that they submitted. And then because they provided both LAIV and TIV, we have two different rows there. They had 43 claims that were submitted to private insurers for LAIV doses administered. They asked for $30, although it's a little interesting, they actually only billed $15 to the insurers with the intention of billing the parents the balance for the administration fee. So what you can see is they ended up getting $15 for the vaccine itself for the LAIV doses. They got a total of $745 back. So partial of $15 per dose was that from the insurer, and the balance of that is what they've recouped so far from parents who paid the balance for the admin fee. But they're continuing to bill now the balance to all the parents. You see you have $546 outstanding. They're still hoping to recoup those costs back from parents at this point. And then for the private TIV, only six doses of that were billed out. They billed $35 all to the insurer for this amount, and they expected $210 and got back $91. So now they are going back to parents again and billing them the balance for the admin fee for those doses. And then they had four claims denied, a loss of $140 for those denied claims. So a total of 130 claims. They had 165 children that were vaccinated, so there's still 35 outstanding that we don't yet know the outcomes of those. But of those 130 claims, they had hoped to get $2,700, and as of now, they've only returned about $1,900, so they have an outstanding balance there of $840. So the reasons why claims are denied, again, very similar to what Dr. Kemp, I just put the top three here, that the provider is out of network, pre-approval was not obtained, that the parent provided incomplete or incorrect information, or the insurer suggested that the client deductible was not met. The challenges, again, are pretty similar to what you've been hearing. I know there have been a lot of billing presentations, so I think these are probably common to everybody and your own experiences as well. But it's really difficult for local health departments to establish contracts with private insurers, and even if they have the means to do it, which they can, a lot of times there are so many insurers out there that you would need to work with that to fill out the paperwork and do that for a local health department is not necessarily feasible. And especially if you only have a few claims per insurer that you would ever expect to see, the process may not be worth it for some people. There are different reimbursement rates based on the eligibility of client, as everybody here knows, and you often need to go back to bill the client the balance. So that extended time that you need to follow through and really try to see recoup those costs, it drains a lot of time out of billing staff. And then the issue in Marion County that they had a lot of Kaiser Permanente kids that came in, and they had a little bit of an ethical quandary of should they offer the vaccine to these kids when they knew that Kaiser would not reimburse them for the doses, and they knew they had access to free clinics where they could get the vaccine. But if there were access barriers, this could be a missed opportunity, and that was a concern that they had, but they chose not to. They recommended highly that Kaiser go to Kaiser facilities for their vaccines. So when we break it down, I think it's nice to have a side-by-side because since I presented them one by one now, it's nice to see them next to each other. So we look at the total staff time for just the clinic implementation. So this excludes the time that was spent on the billing process. Marion County spent a total of 121 hours, which turns out to be about 38 minutes of staff time per vaccinee. And they had a total staff cost of $3,900 for the labor for just the implementation of the clinic itself. Yamhill County had slightly less time, but they also vaccinated less kids. So 110 hours essentially, 40 minutes of staff time per vaccinee. And a total staff cost for their clinic labor of implementation was $5,000, so quite a bit more. They had some staff that had a higher hourly wage essentially. And the way that we determined staff cost was we got the wages of the individual staff that were involved in the implementation of the clinics with their benefits, and we for the total amount of time that they reported spending, we multiplied that by their actual wage to determine the total staff cost. So then we look at the billing labor piece. So starting with Marion County on the top, they had about 27 hours of billing time spent. Again, a first year, so you would expect it to hopefully come down over time, but it came out to about 8 minutes of staff time per vaccinee. The amount of staff time that was spent translates into $730, so the wages that they would have been paid for that time. They were reimbursed a total amount of $2,900, but the net benefit, so what you have to do in Oregon, then they reimbursed $2,900. They had to pay back the Oregon Immunization Program for all the billable doses that they received, so any dose that was not VFC eligible, they get billed for. So deducting that amount, the net benefit to billing was about $2,200, and so the net benefit of per hour spent billing was $86 for them. Yamhill County spent a similar amount of time, and I think it's interesting that, you know, considering you have people trying to recall amount of time spent on a biweekly basis, it's interesting how consistent the amount of time they spent both for the implementation of the clinic as well as the billing portion of their project. And they had about 20 hours, which translates into 7 minutes of staff time per vaccinee. It was $800 of staff costs for that billing time. They were reimbursed about $1,000. Once you reduce the amount for the vaccine that they had to pay back to the program, they had a net benefit of $279. But again, only 130 claims had been processed as of now, and more importantly, they still had bills out to parents to recoup the cost for the admin fee for a lot of those doses. So the net benefit to billing for them was $15. So in summary, considerable time is required to fully implement clinics. I think everybody here can appreciate that. Billing amounted to about 15 to 18% of total staff hours, and you would hope that that would come down over time. But in consideration of that, that it's, you know, not the majority of time that took for the implementation of the clinic. If you choose to do a school clinic, this is a great opportunity to recoup costs associated with staff time. The reimbursement rates vary widely between and even within private insurers. We saw between the two different counties, they had different issues with the same insurer, and I thought that was interesting and of something to look more closely into. Considerations are that this is self-reported time on a biweekly basis and subject to recall bias and differences in how staff might track their time. There are other costs associated that we did not include, and that will be in part of the more comprehensive cost evaluation, which include supplies that they had. Both reported that those are pretty negligible because they had supplies left over from H1N1, but even still, economically, you would have to include those as costs. And then there are other benefits from vaccinating the students that are not concerned. So how does that impact school attendance, et cetera? Those sorts of things we obviously did not include here. And we only did it in two counties, so in terms of generalizability, this may not be applicable to all settings. So in conclusion, with an established billing process in place, and Oregon has had this billing process that I described to you in place for many years, Oregon is uniquely prepared to introduce billing in all vaccination settings. Implementing school clinics is resource intensive, so billing in this situation can really offset some of the staff costs that went into preparing for those clinics. If it's possible, it's great to establish contracts and agreements, but we talked about the limitations and the difficulties with doing that. But if it's possible, it helps to minimize processing time and maximize reimbursement. But I think it also calls for the need for standards around allowable billing practices. We saw really different processes from the two counties and how much they billed to the same insurers. And I think if people are made aware of the allowable amounts that they can bill for individual vaccine doses, that would go a long way to help people out. And obviously, consulting with experienced counties would help people out as well. I want to acknowledge some staff on our team in Oregon.